Welcome to Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Author and attorney Roberta Grimes will explore and illustrate how she, after an extraordinary experience of light in childhood, has discovered channels of communication to the afterlife and how these implications have an effect on our everyday lives. Please welcome the host of Seek Reality, Roberta Grimes.
Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and I'm so glad you could be with us today. You know, one of the best things about having spent my entire adult life doing afterlife research has been the extraordinary, wonderful friends that I've made. And four of the truest of these friends, of course, are Suzanne Wilson, Victor and Wendy Zammit, and the wonderful being who is today's guest, Dr. R. Craig Hogan. We five constitute the governing board of the Afterlife Research and Education Institute. We all got to enjoy the wonderful, wonderful 2017 AREI Symposium that was held in mid-September in Scottsdale, Arizona. But of course, Craig is the AREI president, so he did most of the work. That symposium was a love fest. It exceeded the hotel's capacity because they maxed us at 500 and 525 people showed up. But no one seemed to mind the fact that it felt a little cozy. Everyone was enthusiastic and delighted with the presentations and the experts and the lovely feeling of light and joy in the hallways and all over the hotel. It made simply being there a beautiful experience. And happily, we members of the board weren't the only people who thought so. I've just seen the results of the attendee survey that was done just after the symposium ended, and a lot of people seem to have been as delighted with the event as we were, which to us is very exciting. We don't know how we're going to top this next year, but we are going to try. Craig's particular interest is in afterlife communication at this point in his life, and that's what we're going to emphasize today, but we're going to hear some exciting things, so I'm thrilled to have you. Welcome, Craig. We're so delighted that you're here.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here anytime. You know, this is the high point of my day, so
oh, aren't you sweet to say? You're sweet to say that. It's actually the high point of my day as well. I look forward to being able to speak with people. Mm-hmm. I feel as if everyone who's listening to us in the future is right out there now, and this is all one big hug. Congratulations, dear. That was a fantastic experience.
Yeah, I thought it was a wonderful experience. I mean, if you talk about a watershed in your lifetime, you know, that was one of them. It just was an amazing experience to be able to walk down the halls, and you can feel the love. I mean, everybody exuded it. Everybody was hugging everybody else. So it was a wonderful experience.
It was. One of the things someone said to me, and I thought about it, it really is true. She said that even when you go to what are supposed to be spiritual events, there's a lot of drama usually. There are people who don't like each other. There are cliques. Clicks, whatever they're called, and there's just this sense of underlying tension. There was none of that there. No, yeah. It was all people with one focus, which is on better understanding the truth about reality, loving the fact that it's all good, mm-hmm. and celebrating with one another, mm-hmm. being human and being part of this wonderful experience. That made the difference, I think.
Yeah, it was wonderful. And discovering, because we were discovering things about other people. We were discovering things about the afterlife and afterlife communication. So at every turn, then somebody was coming up with a story or was coming up with something they had found out. And so it was an exciting time of learning about things that are happening in the world right now and things that are happening in the greater reality, which is so much greater than we are. And we learn about the greater reality from other people. So it was a share fest as well as a love fest.
It was that. And didn't it strike you, though, that people knew so much more this year than they did even a year or two ago? I mean, mm-hmm. the level of education going on in this field, you know, beyond our view, is to me astonishing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people are changing. People are learning, and it's becoming a different world. So we're seeing it happen in front of us. And even 10 years ago, I never could have thought that the world was going to be like this now.
No, that's true. I mean, mm-hmm. the first time when the first edition, of course, of The Fun of Dying came out in 2010, and I was doing a lot of speaking in 2011, and I never went to a single gathering where I felt that most of the people in the room were not clueless. Mm-hmm. I could tell it in their faces. There was no reaction. When they asked questions, they were really foolish, basic, you know, questions that anybody now would know the answer to. Mm-hmm. And we went from that to this in just 7 years.
Everybody's an expert, and they really are becoming knowledgeable. So people are coming up with concepts, with understanding that in a few years ago, people in general would not have had. And so it is generally becoming widespread, an understanding of what's going on. And it isn't just because of the fact that people are learning and people are growing and there's more communication about it. It's also the fact that we are being heavily helped by people on the other side and by guides and by higher realms of powers that are helping people to grow. They're intent on helping humanity to become a different species. And it's happening in front of our eyes.
It's happening in front of our eyes. Mm-hmm. And I don't even feel that we're leading it. That's the exciting part. I mean, all we're doing is doing our little bit. What we'd like to do is sort of, we're going to recap some of the highlights, because one of the three threads, do we call them, strains at the symposium was afterlife communication. We had some cutting edge things happening there. But first, I'd like to give people a little background on AREI and where it's going. We started this early in 2016, right? Or am I guessing wrong?
No, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so first, I guess what I want to do is explain that this was not even our idea. You came up with a notion that we five, and it must have come from spirit, right? That we five were supposed to be on a board. Mm-hmm. And so, and of course the five are you and me, and then of course Wendy and Victor Zammit and Suzanne Wilson. And one of the reasons we're darn sure this was put together by spirit and not by us, although we are of course very good friends, was that when Suzanne said, you know, I'm not a joiner. Thanks, you know, I'll help, but I'm just not going to be part of this. She had her guides walk into her office in the flesh and say, why aren't you being part of this? We're putting this together. This is our doing. It's not theirs. You got to join. So poor Suzanne had to become part of it after all. Wasn't that a great story that she told us that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she was led to come to be part of the team. The team was very carefully selected. We knew that was true. I had been told 12 years ago, a dozen years ago, that there was a plan. It actually happened when I was engaged in a session with Rochelle Wright, who is the psychotherapist who helps people to have afterlife communications. And we had decided to do a session, and she put me into trance. And while I was in trance, then one of the things that I did was to ask the team that was working with me on the other side, what it is I should be doing? Where do I go next? What should be happening? And what they said to me was very clearly, it was an insightful session, was that the plan is already in place. All you have to do is follow the plan. And
yes,
so
I
they already had
story.
A plan. They had a plan before we were even thinking about it.
Yes.
And so all we had to do then was follow it. And so they brought us together. They actually began with having us affiliate with an organization called the Academy for Spiritual and Consciousness Studies. So they brought you and me together on the Academy. And in the Academy, then we were meant to take over and take the conferences that they were holding and turn them into little gatherings of 54 people that they had to beg to come to the conferences.
Right.
Into gatherings that we could really have an effect on humankind. And so we took it over, you and I took it over, and then in the first conference, and we then quadrupled their attendance. And
yes.
We had, it was an exciting time with wonderful speakers. Then we did the same thing the next year, and we actually went up to nearly 400 people.
Yeah,
and
20,
so we increased it again.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And that gave us the opportunity then, because we had networked and we had begun it, and we had the people behind us. There was a whole cadre of people that had become involved in it. And then we went away from them, and we went away from them to form the Institute. And when we formed the Institute, that was the fruition of everything that happened before. So it was all building up to our pulling everybody together for this symposium that we had this past year. So it was all in the plan. It was all meant to happen like this, and it happened beautifully, and it's an exciting result.
It's a thrilling result. We just don't know where it goes from here because we're just the team on the ground. But we're very hopeful about this. Tell us a little about your vision for where ARI is going, because I think you're the one of us who is most directly being guided.
What we see happening, what we know is going to be happening, is that there are changes that are happening in humankind. They are bringing to us from the other side methods of communicating, because they desperately want humankind to mature. They want us to evolve because they see that we're ready to go to the next step. And they keep saying this over and over again. We are ready for a change in consciousness. And the change in consciousness is going to result in a new humankind. And we are then going to be able to live together in peace, love, and joy. And so they knew that this was going to be happening. And so then they gathered us together to be able to make this happen. So what's going to be going on now? The symposium really is kicking it off. What's going to be going on now is that we are going to be helping people to understand how to have afterlife communications. And when they are able to communicate with their loved ones on the other side, their lives change. And as a result of that change, then they become different people, because they realize that they are not people who have one life, and that at the end of this life, when the body dies, that the mind dies. That is simply an untruth. And are realizing that now. And as they realize that, then they become different people towards other people and themselves.
Yes.
They no longer have a fear of death. They now can love other people unconditionally. And as that happens, then humankind will be changing. Our role is to help those who are doing the research in this field. They're doing the teaching. They're doing the development of new methods. And they're going out there and actually practicing it. And they need help, because they don't have the funding. It's very important that we get funding to them, and so we're going to be really soundly focusing on getting funding to them. And our role is to support them in any way that we can so that they can further this effort that is going on with the other side. And we as a large team, teams on this side, teams on the other side, are working together to make a change in humankind.
Yeah, I think that it's important that people realize, because I frankly am embarrassed sometimes by some of the things people say to me. It's very important, everyone, to understand no human being is leading this. Many people, it's sort of a coalition of the willing, people who are eager to help. Many of us have given our lives to God. Whatever God wants us to do, we'll do, and this is what we've been called to do. But it's certainly not the work of any of us. It's the work of spirit, and we're just offering our hands. And that's the exciting part. It's much more fun to do that than if it were something we were doing on our own, because we're little and spirit is huge. But it is exciting to watch it happening. Now, talk a little about the outreach. This is something that Wendy Zammit is kind of heading, and I think she's doing an extraordinary job. One of the things that we did at the symposium was have a side room running all the time in which people who were interested in a particular area could gather and talk about that. And I think that was a huge success. I didn't give it 2 cents chance, but my goodness, you all made a spectacular success of it.
Yeah, it was wonderful. We've had people, large gatherings of people who came into the room and wanted to talk, because... And they were actually giving up going to see the presenters when they went into the room. They were that interested in it. So
yes.
We had people come in who had real special interests in areas of afterlife communication. We had people come in who were hypnotists and psychotherapists, healthcare workers. We had people who came in who were mental mediums, physical mediums. And all of them came together because they wanted to talk about where this is going to go in the future. Because everybody knows... We are working with a team on the other side, so we, the five of us, are working with the team on the other side. But the team is also working with every one of them. Every one of them who came, 525 people, had been called there. They'd been brought there. And so when they came, they had an interest in the same way, because they're being led by spirit. And so every one of them and every one of these special interest groups is going to be going at helping people to learn how to communicate with the loved ones on the other side, growing spiritually, and they're all going to be doing it in their own way, within their own disciplines, and we then are going to be helping them. We're supporting them. We're saying, for the hypnotists, you want more training, then let's find a way of getting it to you. You need
Yes.
funding to do the research to find out how hypnosis can help people to have afterlife communications, we'll find you the funding. We'll help you to do that. We know that the outreach is going to come at the grassroots level. All these changes, the teams on the other side are working with individuals, people who are listening to Seek Reality, are some of those individuals who've been brought to this. And
yes,
everyone is being brought to it, and now our role is to support them and help them to develop the small groups that are going to be meeting together all over the world. And the small groups then are going to be doing the work of converting people, helping people to understand what it is that's going on, helping people to understand the truth of what's going on, to turn away from materialism, because materialism has it's seductive, but in the end it is dead. And they're turning away from that and turning towards spirit, which is full of love, full of joy, full of peace. And we are then helping them to help, as spirit works with them to make this happen. So in other words, it's this massive real love fest between spirits and us to make this change in humankind.
One of the things that we're going to be doing is working with these local groups all over the world to set up their meetups or whatever organizations they want to, draw in more people, and then we'll help them hold little mini events. We'll send one of us or whatever. We'll do whatever we have to do to make it easier and more productive for them to work in their own communities. And that's ultimately where we think we're going, because frankly, not everyone can be in Scottsdale in September each year, and we want to be able to be part of everyone's lives all the time. It's important for people to understand, too, what the goal is. The ultimate goal is to raise the consciousness of the entire planet, because that's the only way we are ever going to achieve peace in the world. There's no other way to do that. If even a few percent of the people on Earth would raise their consciousness sufficiently, because we're one mind, it would affect all the minds that are now doing harm and thinking from fear and not from love. And we can raise, just a few million of us can raise the consciousness of this planet measurably. I'm going to have a guest on in a few weeks who will help us understand just how powerful that unity of minds for good really will be. So this is part of beginning that, and that's what makes it so exciting. Craig, are we going to have a website page where people can go see what the groups are and then sign up, even if they didn't go to the symposium?
Yes, we are going to have a website. It is going to be afterlifesymposium.org, afterlifesymposium.org. And on that website, then we will have, as it develops, as we bring in speakers and we make changes and we do some exciting things, we are going to be posting them there so that anybody who gets on can watch it grow, because it will grow as we go through the year. We're just in the planning stages right now, but if they go to afterlifesymposium.org, then that will bring them to the website. Right now it goes to the old, to the 2017 symposium. But then within a few weeks, then that will start going to the 2018 symposium, and they can watch it develop from there.
Very exciting. And just keep listening to Seek Reality, and I'll keep you up on everything that's going on. And we'd love it if you wanted to sign up to be part of these groups during the year to come. Even if you can't come to Scottsdale, you can be intimately involved in this effort. You can be a very, very important part of it, and we'll support you in every way we possibly can to help your friends come to understand the truth too. I know from people's emails that a lot of you are trying now to spread the truth in your own communities and among the people you love, and we love seeing that. Thank you so much for doing it. But let's talk now about the 2017 symposium, Craig, especially the area of afterlife communication. I heard people in the hallways talking about it quite a bit, and so I have a sense there was new ground being broken, or at least being discovered by the people who had attended. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, there were many ways. We are finding probably around a dozen and a half of methods of people can use to have afterlife communication. We're about 98% successful, so that any person can have an afterlife communication. It's becoming commonplace. We no longer talk about the nature of the afterlife or whether there is an afterlife and those sorts of things. Those issues are completely behind us. Now what we're doing is we're refining ways of communicating with the people there. So it's that we're laying cable. We are out there doing putting up the telephone lines to communicate with the other side. So all of these methods of communication are now being refined, and we're making them available to people in general. So everybody can have an afterlife communication. So we had people there who were at the cutting edge, and they were sharing where they are right now, and every one of them was very exciting. We had Sonia Rinaldi, who is the foremost ICC researcher in Brazil, and Sonia was sharing what she's doing, and what she's doing is mind-blowing. She is able to communicate with the other side and has been doing that since 2001. So that's not a real breakthrough for her, although she's refining it, finding new methods of doing it, and the new methods are even clearer. So what she does is she's able to record the voices of people who's speaking from the other side, and it will be primarily she was working with children speaking from the other side with their parents on this side. And so she was able to communicate and have them record their voices and then play them back for the parents. The parents can take them home with them. They have the recordings of their children talking with them from the other side. So she became very adept at that. She was doing as many as 163 of those a month.
Wow.
With as many as 200 messages in each session
for
the parents.
Wow.
On the other side. And so the children were communicating very well. But then she knew that consciousness, what we talk about as the mind or the soul or consciousness, that it is greater than everything in the physical realm. It's greater than the body. It's outside of the body. And so for people who have a body that's not functioning well, the consciousness that's outside of the body is perfectly well and healthy. It is dealing with the fact that it has to use a body in this realm that is defective. But at the same time, that consciousness is still out there and it's able to communicate. And so what she determined she would do is attempt to communicate with the consciousness, the higher level self, of people who, for instance, had ALS, or for children who are profoundly autistic and nonverbal autistic, meaning they couldn't communicate, with people who were in various stages of not being able to communicate, in comas, with Alzheimer's, and she was very successful. She found that she could use the same method she was using to communicate with people in the afterlife to communicate with the higher self, with that self of the person who was in this state of being nonverbal. And so now she is doing it regularly. She's able to go out and communicate with people who have ALS or have Alzheimer's or are in coma, and she can communicate with their higher level self and get the recordings of them speaking. So
okay,
that
this is big. I'm going to break mm-hmm. in because I'm sort of playing listener at this mm-hmm. point. I know people are saying, "Wow, what?" All right, here's the thing. Your mind is fine. If you have a brain injury, if you have Alzheimer's, if you're born with the inability to speak because of autism or whatever, you are a whole, complete, eternal being with a perfect mind. So what Sonia is able to do is to reach that perfect mind. And she's just proving once again that there's nothing wrong with the person. Even though the brain is not functioning right, the mind is fine. And that to me is a very exciting scientific breakthrough. We knew it, right? But mm-hmm. the fact that we now can prove it with Sonia's work is really exciting.
Yeah, and then for people need to realize the fact that the mind, the eternal self, the part of us that is the real us, is outside of the body. It has never been in the body. It reunites with the body. It always uses the body. So it's rather like an avatar. So the mind uses the body in the physical realm. Now what happens is we give up on knowing so much about our eternal selves, and we accept the limitations of what's going on in the physical realm. So we have a kind of an ignorance about it. So we don't know the fact that we are eternal beings. We have to learn that as we grow up. And then we accept the disabilities that we have, and that's part of our script. That's part of what we intended to do, and we planned that before we came into the earth plane.
Right.
And so what happens is that then we decided we were going to come into the earth plane, and we were going to have a mental disability. We decided that we were going to have autism, or we decided we were going to have Down syndrome. And so then the person comes into the physical realm and accepts those limitations, is part of having those limitations. But the eternal self that's outside of the body knows all of this, knows that it was planned, knows that this is part of the drama. We're on stage, then we're taking this part. And it still is capable of communicating. And so we can reach the higher self and we can communicate with the higher self. And people are doing it. We're actually having people communicate with the higher selves of other people. So we have one instance in which in a self-guided afterlife communication, a woman who was having trouble with her mother's superior. She was a nun having trouble with her mother's superior. And what she did was she went and used the procedure that we called self-guided afterlife connection that I had developed and is online and is free and available to anybody. And she used it to, instead of communicating with somebody on the other side, she communicated with the higher self of her living mother superior to find out what the story is. Why was there difficulty? What was the problem between the mother superior and this nun? And so she communicated with her and she found out. She discovered what the problem was.
Wow.
That there was an interpersonal issue that had to do with the mother superior, had nothing to do with that nun. And so what that nun did was she changed the way that she approached the mother superior, and almost immediately it solved the problem. Their relationship improved.
Isn't that amazing?
And as a result of communicating with the higher self. And so we know that we can communicate with that higher self, and we can find out things about the person who is still in a body, and then we can communicate with them. We have instances in which people who are in who are nonverbal but are alert and couldn't communicate about who they are, they're able to communicate with the person on this side of life who is able to communicate, who is able to get through to them, and they can tell them things. They can tell them things that patients who are unable to speak are able to say. My feet are cold. You know, something as simple as that.
Yes.
I'm distressed. I'm just tired of being in this bed. I don't want to be here anymore. And they're communicating that to the person who's communicating with them. Sonia has discovered how she can do that and record their voices. And so she's doing that actively now. She's also recorded the voice of an unborn fetus. So then she's gotten to the consciousness, the higher level consciousness of an unborn fetus. People talk about, well, when does the spirit enter the body? It really has always been with the body. It never enters the body. It always, even from the planning stage, before the conception, before the parents were even married, the person was part of this process and knew
planning,
that they were going
yes.
to be, right, they were going to be incarnated. And so then the consciousness, the higher level consciousness, is always part of it. And so that when there's a fetus that is going to be born, then they are part of that story of the fetus being developed, and we can communicate with a consciousness. And so there was an instance in which a woman was pregnant, but she had had the Zika virus. It was in Brazil. It was Sonia's in Brazil. And she had had the Zika virus. She was concerned that this fetus was going to be born with birth deformities. And so she actually communicated with the fetus to ask the fetus what was going to be happening, because the fetus would know, the consciousness, the higher level
yes.
consciousness would know.
Right.
And so she communicated with the fetus, and a very successful communication. In the communication itself, she actually communicated with several people. So she communicated with the mother while the mother was asleep. She communicated with her husband, Sonia's husband, who was on the other side, and he was instrumental in getting the fetus through. And so she communicated with him and with the fetus during this time. So she communicated with three consciousnesses during the experiment. And she then found out that the fetus said very clearly, yes, I'm going to be born, I'm going to be fine, I'm looking forward to it, I want to see you when I come out. In fact, the fetus, there had been some dispute among the family members about what to name this child that was going to be born. And so they had, one of them had said, I want to name the child Malu. And they had been having controversy about it. The fetus, the consciousness of the fetus said, my name is going to be Malu.
Oh, really?
And so she told them, put this on the recording. Sonia had the recording of the fetus saying, my name is going to be Malu.
Isn't that?
And so that was part of the process.
I just love it. So all of these, because we are doing such great communication now, and this is only the beginning, we can know so many things that we always, as human beings, have wondered about, have discussed, have talked about, have argued about. It's all going to be settled within the next few years as communication becomes more common. And I think that's very exciting. It's going to make so much peace among us that we've never had peace before. We're heading to a break now, but I just wanted to begin to talk about Gary Schwartz's efforts, because he was a major presenter. He was a keynote at one of our banquets, and I was fascinated about what he's doing. Suddenly, everything is in gear with him. And what he's apparently starting with is texting. You'll be able to text with grandma, 20 years after she died. Tell us a little about that experiment, if you can recall what he was saying.
Sure. Now, what he's doing is, he knows, we all know, that those on the other side are able to manipulate things in the physical environment. And what they're doing is they're entering the vibration of the physical environment. We call it the vibration, which just means that we're attuned to things. For instance, I'm attuned to the chair that's in the earth realm. But I could be attuned to a chair that was in some other realm. It's just that I haven't turned the dial to go to that channel, to go to that other realm. But we're attuned to things that are in this realm. And what we know is that they on the other side, who are in the other realm, are able to manipulate things in the earth realm. That's why we have things like poltergeists and that make things move in the room. And we have physical mediumship in which they can make things move in the room with the seance. So we know they can manipulate things. And what he decided was, well, let them manipulate very, very small things that don't take very much effort, that they may be able to manipulate easily. And it came down to the idea of using photons, which are the particles of light, very, very small particles. They have no mass. They have no dimensions. And so these particles of light could be manipulated by spirit because they're so easy. They're so small. And if they could manipulate them by saying, they're going to send through a vast cascade, a whole lot of these photons all at once. And so then what he did was to set up a system in which he would count the number of photons that was being sent through a detector, a photon detector. So you would say, well, normally there are, 50 photons going through every second. And you would say, well, let's see if the spirit can make more of them go through. So we'll see if they can give us a burst of photons. And he set up the experimental circumstances, and he asked some people from the other side, specific people. Among them, one of them was Harry Houdini. Another person whose name was Sue, who has been working with him before from the other side, and he had them send through bursts. And sure enough, they were able to do that. So that he would say, "Can you send through a burst?" And bang, they would send through a burst of photons. So what that meant was that they were able to manipulate the photons to make them come through. And if you can do that regularly, so in other words, they would make photons come through, and they would do that in a Morse code so that they could have the Morse code for an A or Morse code for a B, whatever the letter was, have it come through in bursts of photons. And then through the Morse code, then you could translate that into language, and the person then would be able to communicate as though it were a text message, as though they were sending through letters and a text message. In that way, then they would be able to communicate at will. They could just send through these text messages by manipulating photons and making them come through. So he had the proof of concept, meaning that he was able to say that, in fact, they are able to do that. He found out also that an angel on the other side, Angel Sophia is the angel that he had used, was able to come through and make the photons move. So we can actually have the angels as well as the people from the other side who wanted to communicate come through, send through the photons, and communicate. So that's the point where he is now. And it seems like a kind of a primitive point. He just knows that they can send through bursts. But that at least lets us know that if we can set up the circumstances so they can send through the bursts in some sort of a code, that then we can translate that into a language so that we can get the letters and then they will be able to communicate at will from the other side, and that then eventually, when we're able to do that, will become the soul phone.
Isn't that something? I think it's important to remind people that this is how long-distance communication began among Earthlings, because when Samuel Morse first invented his Morse code and his telegraph, we didn't have phone communication. We didn't have anything, but suddenly now we could send messages from one coast to the other and then eventually across the ocean. And what did that turn into? Eventually it turned into your cell phone. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the beginning of something truly extraordinary. And it was so exciting to be there, because over and over when you were sitting in those symposium, presentations, you saw that more and more and more was happening that you hadn't. I mean, I work in this field, and I thought it was just a feast of new information. It surprised me that there was so much I still had to learn. So what an exciting thing.
Now, what
do you think we're going to be doing next year? And if you're not sure yet, then please don't speculate. But you're the one who sort of comes up with the vision. And do you think we're going to do the same thing next year, or will it be somewhat different?
Well, what we're going to be doing is we will have the cutting edge people coming in to talk about what they're doing. We want to see what the advancements are in afterlife communication. So we'll know between now and next year all of the changes that have been made. We're going to be really focusing on getting funding to these people. They've got to get the funding that is impeding us right now. It's keeping us from going where we could go. So if we can get funding to the people who are doing the research, we'll see great advancements in the coming year. So then at the symposium, we're going to be reviewing all of those advancements. So some of the people who are doing the work now, Sonia Rinaldi and others like that, are going to be coming in, and they're going to be doing the work with the funding during the year. And as a result of that, then they're going to have advancements, and they're going to explain them. So we'll have that as a channel. We'll have that as one of the areas that will come through. We're also going to have training, because we will by then have enough more information that we can train people in new ways. And we want to help people to learn how to do this. We want to help individuals to learn how to do it. We also want to help those who train other people, clergy, for instance, psychotherapists who train other people, the people who specialize in afterlife communication who train other people. And we want to help them to have the skills to be able to train others. So we'll be doing that as well. There will be training during this period of time. So we'll be doing that. And then the final thing that we'll be doing is we'll be having the groups during the year. The groups are going to be getting together, and they will be meeting to talk about afterlife communication, the afterlife. They'll be sharing insights that they have, experiences that they have in their small groups out in the world, all over the world. So they'll be in different cities. And so we want them to come together. So they'll come to the symposium and share what they have been doing, what they've found out, and we'll help each other to form new groups. So that'll be another aspect of the symposium next year. So it'll be an exciting symposium with great advancements, much even more so than we had this year. So we're really looking forward to 2018 as being rather like the culmination of what began in 2017.
Yes. In addition, everyone should realize we had other topics, too. We talked about the last phase of life and the transition and how to help people through that. We'll be doing more of that. We also talked about the new spirituality, which is my bailiwick. And I will have a new book out which talks about what the next stage of Christianity is going to be, because the better communication there is, the more people are going to find out that we practice now as Christianity has nothing whatsoever to do with what Jesus intended or actually with what God is. So there's a lot now that we're going to have to pretty quickly change if we want to preserve Christianity, and that's going to be a focus next year. Mm-hmm. Craig, tell us, what are these websites again? How do people reach you?
Well, they can get on the website for the symposium will be afterlifesymposium.org. The website for the institute is afterlifeinstitute.org. And so they have to do is watch that. We're going to be working on afterlifeinstitute.org to make it a resource that people can go to. And they'll be able to go to that resource and find information that they can use in their small groups to find out more about afterlife communication, find out how they themselves can communicate with their loved ones in the afterlife. And there we'll have summaries of what we have been discovering so that these cutting-edge things aren't just coming out in the symposiums, but we'll be making them available as we go along. We'll be having links to things like the self-guided afterlife communication. We have a whole training program online that teaches people how to have their own afterlife communications. All they have to do is, it's in stages. They have to get online and just go through the stages, and we have 86% success. So they will be able to communicate with their loved ones. All of that's going to be on afterlifeinstitute.org, and they just have to get on and follow it because the developments are exciting. They're happening right now. It's in almost in real time. All they have to do is get on and watch them happen.
This is all very exciting. Thank you so much for being here, my dear friend, and we're going to have you on again soon. Meanwhile, everyone, this, of course, has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please never forget that you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began, and you never will end. And when you fully grasp all the implications of that, it's going to change everything in your life for the better. Next week, our guest will be Dr. Roy L. Hill, who has worked as a clinical psychologist for over 20 years. He's worked in prisons and mental health programs and general clinic services, and he's written two books on near-death experiences, Psychology and the Near-Death Experience, and now Jesus and the Near-Death Experience. Surprisingly often, Jesus will turn up when someone has an NDE, and next week we're going to learn a lot more about that. This week we've been visiting with our wonderful eternal friend, Dr. R. Craig Hogan, who's president of the Afterlife Research and Education Institute, or AREI. Our symposium, September 15 to 17 of 2017, was far beyond anything any of us dreamed would be possible, and we are looking forward now with great excitement to doing in 2018 a symposium that is even going to be more wonderful. We try to make it affordable. We try to make it easy for people to attend, and we hope that you will consider being with us next year. We know you're going to love it. As you know, I have a number of books out. I don't have time to list them all, but they're all on Amazon.com. They're available as audiobooks and in 34 languages worldwide. And if you ever want to talk to me about anything at all, including any of my books, just contact me through robertagrimes.com. Make sure you give me your correct email address because I answer every email. Meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being, and always and forever, you in particular are infinitely loved.